Welcome back, comedy fans. It's an all-new comedy at the Carlson Cast. Get more information and subscribe at carlsoncast.com. Today's episode, we're joined by the fellas from Uncle Louie's Variety Show. Today's episode is, of course, brought to you by Three Heads Brewing, the makers of Rochester's favorite beer. Remember, do good things, drink responsibly, and always be kind. Now here's your host. He is to Rochester comedy what the garbage plate is to our colons, Spitty Paulino.
Hey, everybody. Good afternoon, Carlson Casters. It's another episode of your favorite comedy podcast. That's from your favorite comedy club, Comedy at the Carlson. It's me. It's Vinny Paulino. Joining me in studio, Brian Ball and Ross Johnson. Hey, Ross. Hello.
It's actually my third favorite Carlson podcast.
We have others?
No, I do. I do a couple at home, just for me. They're in my garage. Anybody come by anytime you want.
Do I have to join a Patreon to be able to listen to them?
Absolutely.
Well, thank you everybody for joining us during lunch. This is going to be exciting. Joining us today are Lou Greco and Carlo Russo from Uncle Louie's Variety Show. They're going to be in here tell you all about the show that they have coming up here in just a few weeks. But this weekend, Steve-O is here. And yes. Folks, I'm happy, but I'm sad.
Why are you sad?
Because it's sold out.
Right.
So a lot of people missed out. A lot of people missed out.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, guys. Should have got your tickets earlier.
You knew Steve-O was going to sell.
You knew Steve-O.
Everybody was gonna asking about us, about it, everything for months. You knew.
It's all your fault.
You deserve it.
Enjoy your lunch, you jerk. No, we know we love you, but we got other great shows coming up next week. Dave Smith is going to be here. And also, very soon, our pal Jamie Lissau will be back in Rochester, which will be exciting. Now, we got a good show, like I said. Lou and Carlo are going to be here in just a minute. We're going to do stand-up news a little bit later. We're going to try to entertain you during your lunch hour today. So stick around with us. I'm sure you're going to have a good time. But before we bring in our guest, Brian is going to tell us all about our upcoming shows here at the Carlson. Take it away, Brian.
We have lots of really great shows coming up here at Comedy at the Carlson. Check us out at carlsoncomedy.com for the full schedule. We have Steve-O coming this weekend, August 20th and 21st. Still a few tickets left for that one. And we have Dave Smith, August 26th through the 28th, following that up. And Jimmy Lissau, Hometown Boy, comes back through September 2nd through the 4th with the Uncle Louie Variety Show on September 9th through the 11th. And Orlando Jones, September 24th through the 26th, new edition there. And Vic DiBattista, September 30th through October 2nd. With the hilarious Harlan Williams on October 8th and 9th. And one of my personal favorites, Martin Norman, October 14th through the 16th. And very special shows with Jeff Garlin, October 22nd through the 23rd. And Pete Corelli, October 28th through the 30th. And Robert Kelly, November 19th and 20th. Always good to see him. And one night only, the very popular Dr. Dirty John Valby, November 24th. With friend of the show, Earl David Reed, November 26th and 27th. And Mike Young, December 2nd through the 4th. Michael Rappaport will be here December 9th through the 11th. Very excited about that one. Come see us at a show. Check us out again at carlsoncomedy.com for our schedule or call 585-4-COMEDY. We will see you there.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. I'm joined in studio not by Lou and Carlo, but by another member of Uncle Louie's Comedy Variety Show. It is Anthony Persuti. Hey, Anthony, how are you?
Hello. What's going on? Thanks for having me.
Good to have you here, my man.
Thank you. I'm excited.
Anthony?
Yes.
You have a very interesting opportunity. You're a young guy. I just found out you just turned 21.
Yeah.
You're a Rochester guy out of Spencerport.
Yep. I've been doing magic for, I'm only 21, but I've been doing it since I was 13.
Okay.
It seems like something you get into at a really young age.
It is, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's something you get in young, and it's kind of that, like, you know, not so serious thing.
Sure.
And then you don't expect it to get serious, but it does. Mm-hmm.
Brian's right. I feel like all of the comedy magicians or mentalists that I've met started when they were very young. Magic, I don't think, is the hobby to start when you're Brian's age.
No.
Because you're just going to be a bother to people.
And I can't,
you're just going to...
I have no manual dexterity left.
Yeah, like, your figures are all brittle.
Nothing good's gonna happen from that. I'll just be throwing cards at people.
Yeah.
Too many Rochester winners. His brittle fingers just can't take it anymore.
Poor brittle fingers.
But could you imagine being in the office and just having some guy walking around with a cup of coffee like, hey, I learned a new trick this weekend.
Yeah. I'm take out. Too seriously.
Not good, yeah.
Yeah, I'm out on that.
Start when you're young and cute.
Yeah, exactly.
I wish I had done that. Now, Anthony.
Yes.
Let's talk about comedy mentalism. How do you describe it to me? When you say I'm a comedy mentalist, what does that mean to somebody?
Well, okay, so it's very different, you know?
Sure.
When you go to a regular comedy show, you expect just a regular comedian. Mm-hmm. You're going to have a good time. But if you think about it...
You're not the boss of me. No, I'm just kidding.
Whoa.
You'll have a good time. You'll have a good time.
But yeah, so you're going for a regular comedy show. Sure, it's great and everything, but the twist is having a little bit of extra things in there, like props, right? You have props. I use a lot of volunteer help on stage. So I get a bunch of people on stage, get them all involved, and it's funny, and it'll blow your mind a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. You're not stealing wallets?
Well, I can't promise that.
You're not just
that.
making people's wallets disappear, kid?
I got to make money somehow.
Right. They should pay you.
Well, a little side money, no?
So, Anthony, how long have you been doing a stage show? When was the first time you got on stage?
Ooh, stage was my... Well, okay, so a very first stage was freshman year of high school.
Okay.
But real stage was with these guys, Lou and Carlo. I started out in Leamington, Canada when I was... 17 years old. I was in front of about 400 people.
Wow.
My first time on a big, big stage. Yeah. Right? Other than high school. High school is nothing, you know?
Yeah.
It's not very serious. But with these guys, yeah, it was crazy.
I don't know. I wouldn't say that too loud because high school is everything to Brian. Now, Anthony, your first time is in front of 400 people at 17 years old, man. How'd you do? Tell the truth.
I did very well, actually.
Okay.
Did very well. Thank God.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not saying every performance goes perfectly smooth, right, naturally, but it actually went pretty well. I was very scared, very nervous. Teeth were chattering right before going on stage, right? And but it went really well, and typically, you know, there's some older people at these shows.
Sure.
It's Italian comedy, right? Older crowd. And so the older ladies were loving me.
Oh, I'm sure they were.
Yeah.
How many of them told you that you remind them of their grandson?
Oh, too many.
Okay. Did any of them try to set you up with their granddaughter?
Yes. I've had that quite a few times.
You get a couple dates out of it, kid? Get a couple plates of pasta and couple dates?
Get some food out of it?
Pasta never ends. Especially when you're an Italian crew over here.
You people might as well be the Olive Garden.
That's right. Well, Olive Garden, I wouldn't say Olive Garden.
You know, and I'm Italian. My name's Vinny Paulino. But I'm just going to say we had to mop up after you all walked in. Now... This is a problem today. So, Anthony, I got to say, I'm excited to see, and I'm actually intrigued because you're not giving away much here. You're not telling me much.
I'm not.
Because you're keeping it close to the vest. I get it.
I am, because I'm coming out with some new stuff that I know is going to go amazing. And I don't want to give it away. I don't want to give it away. But, I got some new stuff. And for people who haven't seen me before... It's definitely gonna be great for them to see for the first time. So
well, I'm very excited for that. Are Lou and Carlo out there?
They are.
All right, come on in, guys. Anthony, was nice meeting you.
Thank you.
We look forward to seeing you in September, man.
All right. See you guys.
All right.
Thank you.
Get the hell out of here.
All right, I'm out.
Now joining us, ladies and gentlemen.
He looks like he could carry a few
suitcases.
I'm so
glad he dressed for the occasion.
Yeah.
Looks like a 3-year-old.
Gotta move because my ass is gonna go.
Oh my God, I'm getting eaten by this.
It's all right, you guys. Hop on in. Hop on in, get comfortable. Neither.
Good now.
Yeah, get those mics a little closer there, Carlo.
How's this?
Yeah. Bring it all back. All good.
How's that?
Fantastic.
All right.
Let me see my guests. There they are.
What's up?
Now, I'm going to go.
Brian.
Let me do this the right way. Lou, how are you today?
I'm fantastic. How are you doing, Vinny?
I'm great. And Carlo, how are you today?
Yeah. I'm good now that I'm with you guys.
Now, you guys came.
The whole morning was.
You guys drove out to do this show today from Syracuse.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mighty cool of you. Thank you for that.
Absolutely.
Thank you for having us.
Anything you need.
It's good to have you.
Yeah.
Anything you guys need.
We're not that far. Syracuse. I mean, it's not like we're from, like, L.A. or anything. True. We wouldn't have done that.
True.
So, no. But true.
You would have been like, have you heard of Zoom?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Zooming. Enough. Zooming's another thing. Oh, my God.
It's good enough for you. Right.
Fair enough.
So, no. We're very proud to be here. Beautiful place. First time here.
You just took a... I just saw you got a little tour.
Yes.
We got a little tour. We got a little history of the place. It's beautiful. Yeah. This is a great place.
Well, this is a special anniversary for you guys, I understand. This marks your 10-year anniversary of being a comedy team.
Yes, of being of this
social media comedy team.
Social media comedy team.
Of the character, the Uncle Louie character.
Yeah, because our first, well, if you want to call it, our first thing was a video 5 minutes, you know, before we went out to go drinking. Right. So it was like more like something where, you know, hey, it'd please my father. Basically, the whole thing that started this was kind of having my father in my head and how he reacts to different things.
Sure.
You know, and so we do 5 minutes of me bitching about something, and then, you know, we go out to the bars, right. And then it just started to become more and more and more popular, and then the videos came, and then that's how we kind of created this variety show.
Well, I want to talk to you guys about that in a little bit more in depth, but let's start at the beginning here. Where did you two first meet? You met when you were kids, right?
Yeah, we were teenagers. We met in ninth grade. Our families knew each other prior. Yeah. Our fathers hung out at the coffee shop.
Sure.
We met each other in Italian class, of course, easy A. And Mr. Parisi, God bless his soul, he didn't care about us. He knew we spoke Italian, didn't even pay attention to us. So we would go in the back and we would write comedy sketches and whatever. And we would go back to my house. And we, at that time, we had tape recorders.
VHS tapes.
And then we graduated to VHS.
Did you write them in Italian so that you were sticking with the syllabus?
Did you at least do something in the class for this teacher?
No. He knew that we spoke it.
He tried to keep us apart. Yeah. It was always end up, Louis, you go with it. Carlo, you go with it.
So we met there.
And it ended up, we started to find each other.
Did
you write things? Did you write this? Did you remember that?
So we'd go back to my house, go in the basement, of course, because that's the only place we could... Sure. Live in our house, and we would make these videos. It would start with tapes, and then we would graduate to VHS when the cameras came out, and we'd make videos.
Yeah, and it never started as an Italian thing.
No, like,
back then we never realized how funny our parents were. You know,
it was just what you knew. You weren't trying to make it Italian.
Right. It was just growing up. Yeah. So what we would write is regular comedy sketches, kind of like SNL sketches and stuff like that.
It's amazing how tragedy turns to comedy. Like, dealing with your parents as a teenager is a real nightmare. But now you're older. You're like, oh, this was hysterical. They were crazy.
Yeah, to actually put growing up Italian on stage was... It was a weird concept for us. But you know, when we started building such a strong base that actually loved the videos, and we're like, oh, my God, we got to write an hour and a half show, too. And a lot of times, some places won't let us leave. Like, actually, the people... We're like, do more. We spent.
Are
in
they
the
armed? What happened?
No, they just. They'll feed us. They'll drink. They're like, please. Yeah. We stayed at one place for over 3 hours.
3.5 hours.
Just doing comedy sketches, one thing after another, a lot of improv and different things.
Huh.
And we just had a blast. It was like being with 200 friends, you know, at that time.
The whole thing, social media has made it so different because in the past, growing up, watching Eddie Murphy, watching all the, you know, all the people you got, Richard Pryor, you didn't feel like you knew them. They were so far away from your community, your circle. But with social media, these people know everything about us. We go live. They talk to us. They can ask us questions. We reply to them. So it's become like, it's not this like fandom anymore. It's more like, oh, they're family. Oh, these are my cousins.
Right.
So now when we're on stage, these people believe like, okay, this is all one big family. So, yeah, we'll stay here for 4 hours. Why not? We'll all stick around.
Well,
so that's the difference, I think. Now everybody, you feel like you're part of this community, like you know them.
Yeah,
back in the day, you didn't know Chevy Chase. You didn't know, you know, Steve Martin. You look from afar. Now everybody's in your living room. You're part of it.
Sure.
I believe.
It's definitely a weird and a different type of medium. At least it was the business 10 years ago when you guys embraced it.
Right.
It's amazing to see a success story like this. So somebody who just was like, I'm going to make something quick before I go to the bar.
Yeah.
And now you're playing all over the world.
Yeah.
All over the world.
It was funny. Our very first show was Sydney, Australia.
Sold out show in Australia.
Your first one?
Our very first one first together show. As a team.
How the hell did you manage that?
Honestly, this is what happened. We started with three guys.
That's bad routing. Okay.
We started really with three guys. Bar. We did a restaurant, Dolce Vita. God bless you guys in Syracuse.
We love it.
And we filled the restaurant. It was like maybe 80, 90 people. Yeah. And we did it, friends, relatives, and everything. It was three guys. And then it kind of got a little crazy. And then we stopped for a little while. And then Carlo and I kind of picked it back up. And we started doing our own thing. And then we got this phone call from this woman.
Good day, mate. We wonder if you all come on down here.
Yes. Why don't you come on over? You know, and I said, we can't afford tickets to go to, you know.
Yeah.
I can't afford 2 weeks to go over there and do shows, you know. And she's like, no. We got everything. Yeah. We got everything. What? Well, no, we pay for everything. You just come over and do the shows.
So, yeah.
Huh?
So at that point...
And that's it.
So, at that point, we got this information, and we weren't even the trio that we were, and that's the only way we were doing this at that point, because we kind of went our own way, and we just stuck with videos.
Mm-hmm.
So, I said, well, you know, it's not only us two. It's we have a third person that's really not on the videos right now, but he's the live show.
Yeah, we're doing a two-hour live show. We need some bodies.
We need to... do what we usually do, right? So
backup.
She goes, I don't care, as long as you guys are coming. And we're like, wait a minute, this is crazy. So obviously we thought a scam or crazy person until the point where it wasn't.
And then they get the tickets in the mail.
Right.
So, and then they're like, okay, I'm looking at him, and we're in this, I guess.
So the crazy thing is, a month before, our third person goes, I can't go. He was getting married. He was a CEO of a company that was expanding.
Uh-huh.
Legit reasons, but we're like, a month? We have a month to go. We were going to write a show.
Sure.
And so now we're like, we're going to Australia. The guy who's going to does the music and plays the guitar and he also sings is not going. How do we do this? So we kind of said, hey, we either rise or fall together, and we've been doing this. Write the songs.
I got to be honest with you. If I was in that position, if it was Brian and I, we probably would have tried to kidnap a kangaroo and put it in a silly hat or something. I just make it jump around the stage.
They got a few of them.
It was hilarious. Sir. Just writing that stuff. But we got so much material. We actually overwrote. So we wrote 3 hours of stage material. Yeah. Like, we got to cut this down.
At some point, did you accidentally pull out old homework from high school that you wrote? It's like, oh, this is my science paper.
We only started Italian stuff in the last 10 years.
Yeah, so when we got over there, we got to Sydney, and then we went to Melbourne, and a huge show in Melbourne, and things happened on stage, the accordion broke apart. I play the accordion on stage, okay?
Yeah.
So we had to rent this accordion. Funny story.
It's undeniably the sexiest.
So sexy, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. No doubt. No doubt.
I wouldn't rent an Australian accordion. It's probably made from like old boomerangs or something.
It was 100 years old.
It has not been used in some time.
Oh my God, it was like rusted. Yeah, anyways, I get
like
on
one
stage.
Of the original settlers stole it, and that's why he's there.
Right.
Somebody was sewing it while we were there. So, you know, so we get out, you know, he goes, why don't you wear the accordion? This is brand new. Why don't you wear the accordion instead of grab the accordion from the side so your back is not to the audience? I said, okay, it makes sense. Well, I never wore the accordion over the top of the jacket. I wear a wonderful members-only jacket.
Lovely.
And I get out there, and we start out. And
they don't even have those yet in Australia.
Yeah, exactly. They're that far behind. Well, it's tomorrow.
Australia's kick ass, bro.
I know. I'm just kidding.
So we get on stage, and I'm like, I start with a song, and all of a sudden, you just hear. I lost all circulation in my right arm. I couldn't feel anything on my fingertips.
And I have no idea.
And my hand just went right down the. I could barely move my arm.
I have no idea that this is happening.
So
I'm playing my guitar. I'm thinking. Could you practice a little bit? You sound
swear
horrible.
All you want.
Oh, I can.
Yeah, absolutely.
You sound like shit. We should have practiced more. Because I didn't know he was paralyzed.
It could have looked like I had a stroke. And you know. So
the jacket was cutting off the circulation?
The jacket with the strap that came over. The
combination
accordion.
Of the
so
two.
Now,
and he's so small.
I said a joke. He looks at me. Right? He looks at me. I say a joke like this. Meanwhile, I'm shaking my arm to get blood flow back in. The audience laughs. I don't even know what I said. You know, I said something half Italian, half English. I shake my arm. I get the blood back. I start playing again. And then everybody starts clapping, everything's going. During the middle of the song, the left side of the accordion has a strap that goes over your arm, which allows you to pull the accordion, and it allows for sound to come out of it.
Sure. It's important.
As I pull, the accordion snaps almost in half. The piece breaks off on the left side of my... It's Carlo looks at me, so it goes... Just like the... Grabbed it, threw it over, said a joke.
No deposit for you.
Oh, my God. The audience goes nuts. The weird thing is, after the show, they said... I don't know how many people came up to us. That accordion bit is freaking hilarious. I said, well, of course.
It's not a big
amount. You know how many times we practiced that? Oh, my God.
I would have pulled it just, I would have gone just like that.
Thank you so much.
We didn't give it up. We're like thank you. We wrote it that way.
Yeah, we've been
writing. We spent a lot of money on that disintegrating accordion.
we spent $7,000
on a breakaway accordion.
People don't understand how
we bought it from the WWE, the breakaway one.
Yeah, but so people don't understand how much those accordions cost. Like, I broke my accordion.
They look
something
expensive.
Happened.
Well, they're so pretty.
I asked the guy at this music place, I said, you know, how much is it to replace? He goes, this one? About $10,000. I swallowed my tongue. $10,000. Oh, my God.
How much is it for Uncle Louie?
And he goes, 50.
Yeah, 9,000.
$15,000. So after that, we went to Canada. So our third country was the States.
The United States.
We went the whole other way to get back home.
Canada.
Yeah. How much did Canada love you?
Loved it. We love Canada, bro.
Canada was amazing. Canada was amazing. Well, here's the thing. We tweak our show a little bit because people, everybody in Canada, all the Italians in Canada speak Italian. Mm-hmm. So we kind of up the Italian language a little bit.
That makes sense.
You can get away with all that.
And they laugh because we tried that here. Rochester works. Rochester, a lot
Rochester
of these,
works.
Mostly Italian community speaks Italian. But when you go down south, they know the regular words that everybody knows.
Kind of Florida stuff. You don't want to keep them very English.
They barely speak English in Florida. So let's be honest.
It's all broken English.
We did our show in Spanish. It was awesome. It was good.
It's all broken English here.
It's close to Italian.
It gets there.
If you could do a show on like grunts, you could play the old folks' homes down there.
Well, we've done, well, the way Anthony made it sound like all of our shows are old folks' homes.
Yeah.
He talked it up.
He's like, all these old people.
Well, he was 17.
He's 17.
Somebody was 30 years old.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, he's
36 was old to him.
Anybody who can drink is old to him.
Yeah.
So
now he's 21.
Well, when he was 17, you know, we brought him in. He did like the, it was eye opening to see him on stage as a 17-year-old to 400 something people.
He rocked, man.
And I'm like, just relax, cool, you're good. Just get up there. And he was cool as a cucumber.
So how'd you find this kid?
Tony, our promoter, Tony, and at the time, he knew him from from Rochester, the area. His father and Tony are really good friends.
Uh-huh.
Show in Syracuse, we were actually using a similar act.
Uh-huh.
And we thought, you know what, it kind of works in our kind of variety show.
Sure.
So he thought, hey, I got this young kid, he just auditioned for America's Got Talent, got pretty far in the audition, never made it to TV, but he got far in the process. What do you think? And we trust Tony. We're like, well, if you think he's good, we trust you.
Right.
And we brought him. We never saw him. And
he did enjoy the cavity search at the border.
Oh,
sure.
We
meant to ask him about 17-year-old crossing the border.
Oh, yeah.
Well, here's one thing about the border crossing. So we get up there. And
he's laughing.
Honestly, I don't know what they look for.
Nothing.
He's got this giant pole with electric lights all around it.
It's
right going down the middle of our truck.
I mean,
okay? It looks, you don't know what it looks like.
It looks like a weapon.
Right.
Yeah.
So he's got this thing.
That's terrifying.
We got cameras, electronics all around us because we're all packed
13
in this
car. 13 in a car, right.
And they go on the border, and this person is like, so. Why are you coming in? Oh, we're doing a comedy show. Why are you doing it? And this electronic piece
never
is coming
asked
right
about
down
that.
The middle.
A rod through the car with lights. Never
Nothing.
Asked. What is that?
Have a nice day, guys.
Enjoy Canada.
Enjoy
we
Canada.
Will.
What do they think? You're smuggling maple syrup? What are they?
I don't know.
Well, marijuana just got legal there, so it was.
Legal there and legal here.
Well, not at the time. This is 3 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, it could have got,
What was our place
smuggling?
In Leamington? They grow tomatoes and pot.
They started with
all
tomatoes.
Italians.
Yeah. So, but yeah, so that's our history. We started in Australia and we made it back to the States.
Two so Australians ridiculous. Just made
just
good
think
in
about
America.
It though. Think about we were 14 years old. We're in our basement. We're doing these crazy things. And I remember we were sitting on the 17th floor of this hotel. They gave us a beautiful hotel. We're sitting on the patio of this, or the deck, or whatever it's called. And we're looking, and we look at each other going, how? We're in Australia with two sold-out shows in these major cities. And we're these two little 14-year-old kids making videos in our basement, you know? So it's a really cool thing how it happened.
Editing suite now where you can just cut and you can do it on your phone now. Yeah. Back then, I had to have two VCRs cutting here, put this VCR here.
Those were the days, man.
I know.
Oh, my God, the battle I had. And we had a guy do it afterwards that was helping us out where, you know, he had all that editing.
He had nicer VCRs.
Yeah. It was ridiculous.
Well, he was a filmmaker. So
remember the pots? Like, remember the pots on the VCRs when you had one VHS, you had the two VHS tapes here, and you're potting back and forth. I remember those days. Guys are brutal. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this live show a little bit.
Yeah.
There's music. We have a comedy mentalist. Now, you guys are doing songs. You guys are doing acts. Do you guys delve into the realm of stand-up, or do you generally do sketches? Okay, tell me more.
We're a variety show. So I'll start off. And we, as you said, our music. So we grew up with the Carol Burnett, the variety
Dean
shows,
Martins.
Dean Martins, all those Donnie Murray. So we wanted to bring that kind of back, and because we're doing the Italian thing, we thought, oh my God, we both know how to play music, and he sings, and we can do music. Oh, we both, you know, we do sketches, so let's do characters on stage, like a Saturday Night Live, because that's what we grew up watching. And we both love comedy, so let's do stand-up. So when you come to our show, not only are you going to get the music, you're going to get sketches, you're going to get stand-up, you're going to get everything. So this variety show is legitimately a variety show. You're going to get the best of all the genres of comedy and art. So that's what we do.
Yeah, that's why we wanted to open it up, because we don't want to be limited to a specific thing. We don't want to be limited to just stand-up, limited to just sketch comedy, and limited where we can't do music, right. because that's our life. I mean, that's what I love and Carlo loves. We're all about everything. So we put 2 hours on stage of every, and we're constantly hitting you with it. So it's stand-up, sketches, stand-up,
always worried
music,
about transitions.
Sketches.
Always.
You don't know what's coming out next. And then the characters. You know, we built these lovable characters that everybody can relate to. And even if you're not Italian, like, we have a huge following, Portuguese, Latino, African-American. I mean, no matter what culture you are, you
Asian.
Can enjoy
well, funny's funny.
Show.
I always like to think that. And, you know, this is a particular genre, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody could appreciate a different genre every now and again.
Yeah, absolutely.
And all cultures can come from the same core. You know, there's
a lot of similarities.
Core.
Absolutely.
Old school old school.
Right. So, doesn't matter what country. You have the parents that are strict. You have the aunts and you have the grandparents that are the main one. You know, very similar to a lot of different cultures.
So listen, you guys have almost sold me on this. I just need to know. If I show up
yeah.
September 9th,
if,
10th, or 11th, if, I said if, I'm
I know,
on
we
the
haven't
fence.
Sold you yet, I know.
Is the breakaway accordion going to be there?
Not only will we break an accordion, we will smash the hell out of a guitar and an accordion. We will double
Great.
Down.
Great.
We will
as
double
long
down.
As you have $10,000 to replace
and we will,
the accordion.
We will break it on Anthony's head. No.
If ILM can get you another one in time.
Exactly.
Yeah. You have a magician. Have a magish.
Exactly. Magician.
I'm that woman specifically sent from Australia.
No, honestly, if you come to the show, I will say, without, I don't know you, but I know you like comedy. I know you obviously work in this environment. You're part of this. There's got to be something of the show that you're going to go, man, that was really cool. Because a lot of people look at our page and they think, oh, you know, what are they going to do on stage? You know, to do videos. Well, how does that translate on stage?
Right.
Then they come see us and they're like, oh my God.
The one
like we didn't never know, like, oh my God, what you guys really do. I'm like, yeah. Unfortunately, it's like one of those bands that sound great in the studio and you get them live and like, oh, okay. So a lot of people are like, okay, they do videos. How are they going to be on stage?
The one thing that makes the big thing for us is the staff. Your staff over here, how they enjoyed the show, because they see everything come through. Like, we went to, well, I'm not going to say where we went, but, you know, we went to this
Mexico
great comedy comedy place, and we played it, and the staff came up to us and were like, you know what? We see constant comedy, like, all the time. So they're numb to it, right?
Oh, yeah.
And when they saw our show, they're like, it's so refreshing to see something new and different.
I haven't smiled in years.
So
I haven't legitimately smiled since this place opened.
Well, Tony, there's a lot of people. No, honestly, I mean, you know, in comedy, there's people that don't laugh out loud.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And you think they're having a horrible time,
uh-huh.
and they're in usually the front row, and you get to see, and then you're like, oh my God, that guy hated us. And then at the end, on our meet and greets, they'll be the first one going, oh my God, I loved it. I'm like, well, you should have told your face that, you know?
Right. Yeah.
But that's happened to us. So a lot of times, like you say, you haven't smiled. A lot of people just take it in, and they look at it, they try to.
Is there anything worse than this face? Just the.
Just
during the show.
Well, at least that we just glide over. You know, this face right here, this face was our first show in Rochester. I had this guy in the front. You remember?
Yeah.
Just like this.
My God, we're in trouble.
The whole freaking show. Just nothing,
burning holes.
Nothing like
I said I was sorry.
Right? So at the end of the show, I'm like, did you see that guy? Everybody's dying. Everybody's laughing. Got a standing O. And this guy just nothing. And we're standing there, we're signing autographs, taking pictures, and this
is
fantastic. Yeah, well, he goes, you guys were so great. Thank you so much for tonight. I'm like, what? What? He had a stroke in the front, and just his face
He only knew. That's the only person we worried about. Yeah. whole show.
Focus on those.
Whenever I meet people like that, I wonder if they're on some kind of crazy acid trip. If they're just sitting there in the audience looking at colors, so we have no idea if it's there.
Yeah.
And then they come out like, that was amazing.
Right. I know.
Okay.
It was the craziest thing, though. And it happens every once in a while. You see those people, and then they come up afterwards.
Well, because we are different. So I think a lot of times when you're walking into a stand-up show, you know, there's going to be three guys or whatever the lineup is. One comes out.
Yeah.
With us, they have no, okay, what are they going to do now? Oh, my God, they're women now. Oh, wait a minute. They're picking up instruments and singing. So a lot of times they're just like, let me take this in. Let me take this in. And then, obviously, if you're the first-time viewer or, you know, you don't know. But then you get the, as we call it, the super fans that know everything about you. They're going to be loud and laughing and yelling. And so it's kind of both. It's kind of both because people don't know what we're doing.
So if you've never been to a show before, just follow those people's lead.
Yes, laugh. Right. God damn it, laugh.
The best thing is when they come out afterwards and they say, you know, I didn't know what to expect. Right. It was awesome. Always. If you've never seen us before on stage, that's what we sit in the room. That's what we try to write. Something that they don't expect. So at the end, they're like, "That it's an experience rather than I went to go see Carlo and Lou comedy stand-up.
So
it's an experience.
What we've learned today, folks, you're going to see sketches. You're going to see a comedy mentalist. Yes. There's nothing else like that touring around, and you're going to get to see it right here at the Carlson, September 9th through the 11th. So tickets are on sale now. You guys know the drill, carlsoncomedy.com to get those. I want to thank Anthony for coming in studio today. Lou, Carlo, a pleasure to meet you both, and I'm looking forward to your shows in September. Wow. I'm actually just going to be heading back in from Chicago, and I'm looking forward to coming in and checking you guys out that week.
Awesome.
Can't wait. Thank you for having us again.
Folks, you got plenty of time. Get your tickets now. Get your family ready. Get them in the car. Get them ready to come and see the show. You're not going to regret it.
That might be a bit excessive.
So
it doesn't matter.
For anybody who doesn't know about us, check out theunclelouisvarietyshow.com or on Facebook, The Uncle Louie, and YouTube and Instagram, all that good stuff. Give us a look, and we'll see you here.
Absolutely. And follow the links. We're going to attach them to this episode wherever you're listening to this podcast.
10-year reunion. 10-year, not reunion, anniversary.
Well,
10-year anniversary.
Congratulations.
Thank you. September 9th. So it's going to be a fun show.
10 years. Amazing. Yeah. All right, folks. We're going to be back in just a minute with Ross Johnson with Stand Up News. Stay tuned. All right. Thanks again to Lou and Carlo. We're going to tell you a little bit more about how to get your tickets to that at the end of the show. But right now, it is time for my favorite segment. It is the time for us to find out what's going on in the world of stand-up comedy. Ross Johnson.
Also known as Now Who Died Time.
Who died? Who died now?
Well, we'll just start off with that then.
What are we doing here?
Hi, everybody. So,
sad. I'm going to start off with a little bit of a sad one. Trevor Moore, the whitest kid fella, passed away unexpectedly and a little mysteriously still at this point, at the age of 41. He was, of course, from the Whitest Kids You Know in the early 2000s. He had the Trevor Moore Quarantine Show was his, like, YouTube thing he was doing lately. I don't know if he had a lot of big stuff going on recently, but I had forgotten, you know, I had sort of forgotten until he died, and people were posting all those clips from the Whitest Kids You Know, and I was like, this is really good. I had sort of forgotten just because
that was a great show.
It was really good. And the stuff is, I mean, the clips there, you know, I was laughing as I'm, you know, watching them because he died. I'm still laughing at
the up to me, I would play two of them right now, but YouTube would ding us and Facebook Live would throw us off.
Right.
So sorry, folks, you're going to have to go and look it up yourself, but it's definitely worth it. There's some very funny stuff.
I'm surprised he was even 41. I would have guessed like in his 30s. Like,
Yeah, I was a little 30s. Surprised. Well, I was shocked to see that he died, but the age also did surprise me. I was like,
41's not that old.
Thank you. Bless you, Ross.
speaking of old people, Bill Engvall.
How are you, Brian?
I'm well. How are you, Vinny?
Good, good.
Alive.
Keep going. Keep going. Bill Engvall.
Here's your
sign, Brian.
At this age, that's the best you can hope for. So, Bill Engvall, blue-collar comedy tour guy. He's announced that he's retiring from touring. He's not.
How much sad news are you going to throw at us? No.
Sorry. Can anybody?
Bill Engvall did fine. Go rent a DVD.
Right. Yeah. He's
you
doing
can stream
fine.
A special.
And he's got. You know, he's still doing stuff. So his farewell tour is going to be called Here's Your Sign, It's Finally Time. He's going to start that. And this is one of those long retirements where this is going well into next year.
Yeah.
And then he's got like shows lined up. He's going to be the head auctioneer of the Blue Collar Auction Show, just to beat that with dead horse. And he's got a, so that's coming in the fall. You know,
so
Bill Engvall, he's fine.
I'm going to put money on he'll be back. Maybe he's retiring from touring. He'll still do a special in 5 years.
Yeah, it'll be a Ric Flair retirement. He'll come out every now and then.
You think it's one of those Cher things where she just does a retirement tour every 5 years or so?
No, but like he doesn't have to tour to do a special.
Right, right. Absolutely.
He doesn't have to tour. Like retiring from touring is a very different thing. It means I'm too busy for this shit.
Right, right.
I'm going to go do the auction show.
Next up, Nicole Byer, somebody who's not retiring. A favorite of mine personally, of course, the show.
We love Nicole.
Love Nicole Byer. So she has got her. I was sort of surprised about this. I mean, I realized it. I realized I hadn't seen a special that she had done, but she's got her first live Netflix special coming up later this year. She's
I knew it was coming out. She had that deal for forever.
Yeah.
Right. I was surprised. I mean, I hadn't seen it, so I knew that she didn't have one, but it didn't occur to me that she, it just seems like she would have had one already. I mean, she's been, you know, doing stuff with Netflix for so long. And like you said, had this deal for so long, but she's filming that at the Gramercy Theater in New York on September 5th. So maybe you can get
very cool.
Go see that and be in the audience on the special. I don't know, but the special is going to premiere on Netflix later this year. She's also she's also got, I don't know, she's got a whole long list of stuff going on coming up that we don't need to